The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. This is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Wherever you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This gentleman to my left, to your right, is producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Kelly Bidelon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. Oh, I'm spectacular.
Just keep killing tennis.
Tennis and football was... I didn't miss this weekend.
We didn't miss.
Including the Rams last night, which we'll get to momentarily. Interesting line for the Rams-Eagles game. At least I think it's interesting. Drew Dinsick will join us here momentarily to talk both National Football League. Well, I shouldn't say both. A trio of sports. NFL, NBA, tennis. We'll try to get it all in with Drew with a couple segments. We'll give out the bets we have as well. Then Will Hill will join us. His NFL plays, his college football championship thoughts, NBA awards. That's a good idea on your part. Let's revisit those.
I made a couple bets over the weekend.
Let's make us more humble with some of these bets I've made.
Gil, I've had a couple bets that I made in an NBA awards market I don't even think you could guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. And then Paul Carr, not only with his Premier League picks, which he does, moving the chains here all the time when he comes on the show, but it's the de facto sort of mid-season point of the Premier League season, so we'll get his mid-season thoughts on lots of things, relegation, who's going to win it all, where's the bets, all that, and more. Plus, I have something to say about this college football championship. We'll get into that. It's going to be an unpopular opinion, I think, although I think it's corroborated. I cannot be the only one who thinks this.
All right. I know I agree with you already.
Yeah, but you already know where it's going.
But I'm the wrong person to ask.
Yeah. Okay, Minnesota and the Rams last night. Oh, I said, you know, what's the team with the most pressure on it in the wild card round? It's a 14-3 team that doesn't want to go poof out of the playoffs. Well, guess what? Poof. The Vikings are done. Boy, oh boy. 27-9. The Rams do it. And Glendale, Arizona, of course, the displaced Rams, because the wildfires in Southern California, in the Los Angeles area. And boy, oh boy, that was something last night. Even though I had the Rams +3 and on the money line, I didn't think that was going to happen. Let's go through it, because there's a lot of little quirks to this game. Rams open up 7 plays, 70 yards, 4th-and-1 at the Minnesota 10 as part of this. Jonathan Bullard jumps off sides for the Vikings. Next play, Stafford to Kyren from 5 out, 7-0 Rams, less than 5 minutes in. Stafford 6 of 6 for 64 and a touchdown on that drive. Then a Minnesota 3-and-out, and this is the first sack of Darnold. Part of that 3-and-out was Byron Young sacking Darnold. That was the first of 9 sacks of Sam Darnold. Rams matriculated again, but their offensive lineman Bo Limmer with a terrible unnecessary roughness penalty. That's the only thing that kept him from getting in the end zone, probably. They settle for a field goal from Joshua Cardy, 34 yards, 10-0 Rams, with 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Minnesota matriculates, but Kobe Turner sacks Darnold, second sack of the night. That stymied the drive. They did get a Reichard 34-yard field goal, 10-3, early second quarter. Then Stafford sacked by Grenard. Here's where the shenanigans of this game begin. Stafford is sacked by Jonathan Grenard. Cashman seemingly returns it 26 yards to the hizzy. And you're like, oh, my God, it's 10-10. Where did this come from? But the review rules that Stafford made a throwing motion. And so you're thinking to yourself, well, OK, well, at least it's going to be intentional grounding. But Puka Nacua was right around the area. So not only is it not a scoop and score, not only is it not a fumble, it's not even intentional grounding.
Yeah.
It's nothing. The Rams get it. And by the way, I think by the letter, it was probably correct.
Oh, it was absolutely correct. This is us revisiting that conversation from last week. Intentional grounding has so many gray areas that I absolutely hate. And what did we seize on last week? What is the intent of your motion?
Yeah.
When intent is involved in the rule, guess what? He was not intending to make a completion to any receiver on that play. But
you know,
Gil, did the ball go forward?
It did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Was there a receiver relatively in the area? Yes, there was. So he was rightly called on the field.
You know, you can't spell intentional grounding without the word intent.
That's right. That's right.
You really can't. So Minnesota. So then there's the Rams get away with that. It ends up being a 3-and-out, a 12-second 3-and-out, by the way. Then Minnesota punts after a Kobe Durant sack of Darnold. What's that? We're up to 3 now. But a questionable roughing the kicker call. This was another one. Remember this now? The Rams got flagged for roughing the kicker, which extended the Minnesota drive. And it looked like, you know, first of all, maybe Grugier Hill blocked Jacob Hummel into Ryan Wright, the punter. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But I've seen that you talk about gray area calls. I've seen a lot worse called as running. They're like roughing immediately.
Yeah, it was. That's the one where there was probably too much contact for them to go running. But it was a split the difference.
I felt like I've seen worse this weekend.
Like, we can't tell how much that guy might have pushed him into the punter, right? So I would have coached called it running or something.
Anyway, 3 plays later, Darnold picked by Kobe Durant way late on the pass to Addison. Rams 3-and-out. I have no idea how Grugier Hill did not block the ensuing punt. Minnesota matriculates, then Darnold sacked by Akello Witherspoon. This is where the game went out of hand, starting here. So it's still 10-3. I believe this is the fourth sack, or up to number 4. Darnold sacked by Akello Witherspoon. He fumbles, scoop and score by Jared Verse, the presumptive, perhaps, defensive rookie of the year. 57 yards to pay dirt, 17-3 Rams with 4:35 left in the second. Then second down ensuing drive. Darnold sacked by Byron Young and Neville Gallimore. That's 5, I believe. They overcome it with a third down conversion, but then 4th and 2 at midfield, Kobe Turner sacks Darnold. That's number 6. Rams set up at the Minnesota 39, 5-play Stafford to Davis Allen, wide open. And no one knew he was on the field from 13 out. 24-3 Rams, we go to the locker room. And this game, the competitive portion of this game, pretty much over.
Kelly's watching mainly NBA.
I mean, did your mind drift in the third quarter? Mine did. Because I'm like, this is over.
Oh, I was flipping all over the place, the NBA games, NFL. I mean, I was going back and forth. It's not like I missed any of this, but it was done. I mean, did you have any confidence in this becoming a game at all?
No, nor did it really, except for one little blip. I mean, Darnold sacked 6 times in the first half. We just went through all of them. Now, were all of those Sam Darnold's fault? No. The offensive line, you know, shoulders some of the blame. But there are a few of these where Darnold just held on to the ball and didn't get rid of it. And it was just egregious. Third quarter, Minnesota punts after Darnold misses an open Jalen Naylor on third down in midfield. Cardi field goal makes it 27-3. Then Darnold to Hockenson for 26. Here was the one blip of the game for the Vikings, the one sort of high point. Darnold to Hockenson for 26 out. 2-point try fails, it's 27-9. After a Rams punt, Minnesota gets it to the Rams 37. I don't know, maybe this is going to be a ball game after all. But Darnold takes a 7 sack, this time for Michael Hecht and Braden Fisk, on a play he had ample time to throw it away. Did not. They have to punt. Rams, first play. Blake Cashman grabs Okay, we got to talk about this play. There were so many little things in this game that drive me crazy. So it's 27-9. The game itself is out of hand. But first play for the Rams on the ensuing drive, Blake Cashman grabs Kyron Williams' face mask. There's no flag. Even Joe Buck says, oh, we don't see a flag. And you can hear Matthew Stafford screaming at the refs that Kyron Williams got his face mask pulled. All of a sudden, the refs get together. Face mask called. 15-yard penalty. There was never a flag. It was either it was like an NBA thing where Matthew Stafford induced replay assists to call down and make the call. Or they were trying to say replay assists wasn't involved, but it sure felt like they were. Either way, there was no yellow flag on the field ever, and they call this after the fact.
I mean, this is another one of those moments where I'd hope that replay assist was involved, but we don't know, Gil. How do we know?
Well, I hope it wasn't involved, because now I'm even further confused about replay assist, because now you can do that with replay assist? I have no idea. No idea. Anyway, they still had to punt. And then Minnesota down. This is the final part of this game. Minnesota down at this point, you know, still multiple scores. They display no urgency with 2 run calls. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's 27-9. They're just calling run plays, 2 consecutive run plays. By the way, then an 8th sack of Darnold. They turn over on downs. And after a Rams 3-and-out, just for good measure, Minnesota last time with the ball, a 9th sack of Darnold. 27-9 Rams. Good God. Now, there's so many things to say about this game, and we'll project it forward to next week. I'm shocked that the line is... We're seeing some 6.5s now.
No way.
In favor of the Eagles. I got it at six plus six on the Rams. You know how I feel about the Rams. I had them last night. I had them last night plus the points. I had them on the money line against the Vikings. And I'm the one who's been saying all along, there's just a little voice inside my head that makes me think the Rams are the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. That they're the team that everyone's underrating. They go to Philly at six contenses, but I'm seeing some six and a halves now. And I quite frankly, I understand why the people, you know, why I've talked to Fezzik, for instance. He's all over the Eagles. I understand what his point is, right? Oh, well,
really?
It's a warm weather team. They've still got the wildfire stuff with their families. They're going to cold Philly. I don't see it, man. I don't think it should be this many points.
I mean, there are. I'm seeing fives out there too. So Steve's probably laying five. You're catching six yeah. and a half. That's a big difference. I thought it was going to be somewhere in that dead man's land, at 4.5 to 5.5, and I'd have absolutely no play on this game because I think I was expecting to bet the Eagles going forward. There was enough concerns, especially injuries, in that game last week with the Eagles for me to say, okay, I don't know if I'm as interested this week. Still, with where this number's opening up, for me, it would be Rams or nothing.
The other big thing, of course, there's many big things for this game, but the other one that leaps to mind, of course, is the fate of Sam Darnold. And I was on Will Hill was on the show here last week or the week before, whichever week it was, we were talking about what are the Vikings going to do. And I said, you know, despite all this great play from Sam Darnold, I think the Vikings probably let him go and they go with the kid, J.J. McCarthy. Now, it's not even a debate, I don't think.
I think the long term stuff never made sense to me. Either you franchise him or you got to let him walk.
I think it's they've seen him perform. Part of it's the offensive line for sure, but they've seen him perform in the biggest games. That's all they're going to remember.
Yeah,
that's it. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick, NFL, tennis, NBA. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're getting ready for Big Game 59 with a big deal to match. Save $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code ANG. How about that? Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Bet smarter all year long with full access to our daily best bets to help you cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access to tune in anywhere on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our betting guides and expert picks for the Super Bowl and upcoming March Madness. Don't miss out on the big game deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
ANG as in a numbers game.
To save $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly Bidley, Australian Open going on in Melbourne. Australian Open.
My girl's out already, I heard yesterday.
So, what's that?
You know, my girl's out already, so I'm going to have to figure out a new...
Kelly likes Marketa Vondrousova on her tattoos. That's Kelly's girl.
It
has been spectacular here in the first round. First round closes 8-3 over 7 units because they're all with one exception, were dogs, including upset calls. And by the way, this is for everybody at VSiN.com/picks, every subscriber.
Wait, say again? Did you just say 7-1?
No, 8-3 over 7 units.
Okay.
Because everyone except for one of them was a dog. Including calling upsets of former top 5 players Andre Rublev with Joao Fonseca, of Maria Sakkari with Camilo Osorio, which I talked about on the show yesterday, or gave out on the show yesterday. And then who was the third? Tsitsipas with Alex Mickelson as well. So it's been a great start to the tournament. May it continue.
It's been a good past, 4 days at least for the numbers game team, I will say.
Between football and tennis. Here's another guy who's had it. Oh, and NBA too. Oh, we'll get into that later. Here's another guy who's had a great football/tennis 4 days or so. You can follow him on Twitter at whale_capper. He is the host of not one but two podcasts, The Deep Dive with Drew Dinsick and Andy Molitor, and of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which Drew does with Jay Croucher. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, man?
Oh, and that's good to hear that you're running like a god in Melbourne. Although I got to ask you, man, where were you with the Lulu Sun upset? I was waiting for that.
With the what upset? With the what upset?
Kovinic 10-1 against Lulu Sun. Did that number make any sense to you?
Dude.
When did Lulu Sun wake up and warrant being a -2,000 favorite against anyone on tour? Like I know Kovinic is she, who she is, but still that one made no sense.
The numbers would corroborate Lulu Sun being a very large favorite over Kovinic, who hasn't really played, right?
Sure.
But you're right. -2,000 is reserved for the Swiateks and the Sabalenkas of the world. What are we talking about? for sure.
And the Lulu Suns, apparently.
And apparently the Lulu Suns. So it's been good for you. Tennis, let's start there. It has been a good first round for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's been chalky. I've been pretty lately dabbling. Most of my exposure right now is in the futures market. I like the number you got on IGA. I'm in a similar spot there. People have been kind of, I don't know, posturing that the fourth quarter is a tough test for her. I don't see it.
Oh, no, not at all. She got the best of it. She got the best of it. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. This draw was an absolute dream for her. The real kind of interesting part for the Australian Open in general this first week is women's quarter two. Like, there are a number of matchups that we're going to get between now and finding out who comes out of this quarter that could all be finals, starting with Osaka
Mohova. Yeah.
Yeah. This is an absolute perfect matchup. We saw these two play in the second round of the US Open where Mukova, I thought, played her best match of the entire year last year. She takes out Osaka in a really competitive two-setter. This sets up very well. Osaka, of course, came into this with after withdrawing from her final, being up 1-0 against Clara Townsend. Had a spot of bother against Caroline Garcia. But in that, you know, she was more emotive and more engaged in that tennis match than I've seen Osaka in a match in a long time. I think she is obviously has a presence of mind that she's live for this tournament, and the draw did her zero favors if she does get by Mukova. And I know you have a long shot on her, but I like her at price. I bet her at +240 yesterday. It is now +216. I agree with the kind of the directional move. I think there's still some meat on the bone there. But it's going to be a very tight one. And assuming she comes through, the winner of that, who I think is live to win this tournament, has to play presumably Bencic and then Goff and then Pagula. Like that, all of those matches are, you know, are must see appointment television. Set your alarm, get up in the middle of the night and grab a coffee kind of tennis. So
true, that's the problem. It's like I gotta sleep at some point. Like I'm waking up to winners and I can't watch it, but I want to watch them. But it's the time zone thing is tough. So just to be clear, for those who might have missed it, you are on Osaka today +$2 north of +$2 against Mukova. That was what you were saying.
Yeah, I think Osaka's live, and honestly, the market is pricing her. For this match, I feel like she's shy. There's some skepticism in the market right now. I would have expected this to open around 160, 180. And the fact that it opened in the 240 range was a what? If she does get this win, then I don't think you're going to get as favorable a price against Bencic. I don't think you're going to get a favorable price against Goff, because Goff is just a market darling right now, even though in a straight sets victory in round one, she looked a little nervous, I thought. Against Pagula, who I was kind of cold on when we previewed the Australian Open, she looked great in her opening set, just absolutely burying the up and comer Maya Joint. So, the second quarter is really, is going to be fascinating to try to thread some needles. But I think I'm just going to back match by match Osaka until she loses.
Anything else today before we move on? Anything else?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead. Match of the day, at least in terms of drama and attention, that's not, a potential final is Pagula Mertens. I think that one is very close in terms of just the margin is close. The total is sitting at 20.5 is not correct. I think this is very live to be a three-setter. And if not a three-setter, at least one tiebreak. So I played over 20.5, and then I sprinkled a little over 2.5 sets at +184.
Okay. Australian Open moves into the second round from Melbourne. Drew was kind enough to do the pre-draw Aussie Open podcast on Beating the Book with me. Zach Cohen, kind enough to do the post-draw. So check it out if you're still interested in doing so. Drew also, though, is going to do the divisional round Megapod with us, with Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and myself this week. He couldn't do the wild card round. What were you just saying off air, Drew?
It's the way it always goes, Gil. The we shine the brightest in front of no one. And wild card weekend was one that I will remember for a long time.
Yeah.
All the sides and totals that I took pre-game all came through, and all of like the little sprinkles of, I think Bo Nix is going to be featured in the running game. This guy will get more targets than the market thinks. De'Ami Brown feels like he's emerging, you know, like all the little things.
Yeah.
All the little stuff on top of the sides and totals came through. And, Futures book looks like it's in a really good spot right now. And then you flip open the divisional card and you're feeling confident. You know, I got to read on all these teams. I know what all these prices should be. And you look at the numbers and you're like, oh, okay, now they're all correct. Great. So yeah, it's going to be tough to find bona fide edges, I think, this week.
Well, let's start with one before the break and we'll continue afterwards. The first question would be, let's take Baltimore Buffalo off the board. We go to the other three games that have the bigger spreads. Mm-hmm. Team most likely to pull off an outright upset between the Rams, Skins, and which is the one I'm forgetting, of course, the Texans.
Yeah.
Which of those three? Sorry, yeah. Texans fans.
Classically, I think it's the Texans, the team everybody's forgetting about, right? I'm softening on this take a hair. But I will tell you that that's too many points. The general kind of handicap here is the Texans are in the conversation for the best defense in the playoffs, I think. And even more than that, I think where the Texans are strong, which is all over the place on defense and very narrowly on offense, happens to fit kind of hand in glove with where there are some weaknesses with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs have struggled with pass pro all season. They do not have a set of tackles who can necessarily go head to head against the wave after wave of pass rush that DeMeco Ryans likes to bring and that they are capable of drawing. And for whatever reason, Pat Mahomes has taken a step backwards in terms of his sack avoidance this year. For whatever reason, Pat Mahomes, has been asked to push the ball down the field and has been more capable to kind of the errant throw and the turnover. And I think with the ball hawking unit and the confidence that secondary is playing with, you could have some extra possessions. And then, hopes and prayers that Bobby Slowick just has 15 targets in the bag for Nico Collins.
I don't know what I expected as the answer to Skins, Rams, or Texans, but I don't think it was the Texans. There you go. More questions for Drew on the divisional round of the NFL playoffs and the NBA as well. Coming back, Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready to take your tailgate to the next level? You got to try Sewell's barbecue sauce. Look at that. Born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor. Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From smoky ribs and mouth-watering wings to the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite into a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SewellsBBQSauce.com. Flavor this good, just a click away. Still not brave enough to spell out sauce.
It's a tough word, Gil. I don't blame you.
I'm still not brave enough. Working up the courage. We get tweets at Beating the Book. These are a lot. Really appreciate all the feedback. Natrone Bets. I think he's related to Natrone Means. Always nice to wake up to tennis winners overnight in the Australian Open. Nice work. Thank you, sir. Tim Moat, great show, and thank you for the amazing tennis picks. Great way to start the morning with some tennis winners. Thank you. Thank you, Tim Moat. All of these, again, at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. B-Man Zhao, that's the tweet. Gazillionaires 2025, baby. Thank you. Start that again. Jamar Zhao, wow. That's the whole tweet. James Sada, I expected to wake up this morning and put TV on to watch the end of the Fonseca match. Lo and behold, he won straight sets, so didn't see a thing. Nice hit. Thank you, sir. This is also from, let's see, where am I going to start here on this time? Sorry. Scrolling. This is Sam Ginsburg. Oh, our buddy Sam Ginsburg.
Sammy.
Based on what we saw with the football games and tennis overnight, someone should be in a good mood this morning. Is it just me, or have you also noticed how results have improved dramatically ever since the Yinzer Elf arrived?
That's a thing. Thing or not a thing, Gil? That is
that
an actual thing so
thing.
Far.
What does Eddie Moosh mean by this when he says, don't shoot the messenger, it was roughing because his plant foot... Oh, talking about the punter. Because his plant foot was in the air. Yeah, but Eddie Moosh, if I may call you Eddie Moosh, I have seen that also called running. It is ruled inconsistently. I will stand by that. And I know that they say that when it is called roughing, but I've also seen it not called that.
I thought it was clear roughing as long as you weren't going to say he was pushed into.
And he might have been. Paul Zhang took the Rams +6.5 on FanDuel last night. The numbers guys. Gilly, Osorio and Fonseca. Wow. If nothing else, subscribe to Beeson Pro for Gil's tennis alone. I went with rolling the money line on Fonseca for Q2. Am I leaving money on the table? The Fires and moving to Zona. I think that strengthened the Rams' resolve. I do have Fonseca for Q2 at 14-1. Andrew Rinn. That was one of those bets where if you could get by Rublev, you're live. Andrew Rinn. All my kid wants for his birthday is Kelly Bidlin's stuffed animal square bear, but I can't find it in the Beeson store. Help.
We really need that. We really need that.
John Fitzgibbons talking about the game last night. As Gil puts it, replay rules from the future. Remember, I used to say that about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl with replay rules from the future. Kevin Ryan. Gil, have you ever seen a quarterback play his way out of a big contract faster than Darnold did in 2 games? Love the Rams +6. He really did. He really did. Uncle Buck. I had to watch and sweat out my +18.5.
Uncle Buck.
Vikings live bet. Definitely had sound off and music on.
Should have seen the toast. I couldn't even get it through the door. Great movie.
Eli E. Tease the Rams with the Chiefs instead of Baltimore? He's wondering. Jason H. 11. Enough of the rest. Enough of the Michigas. He says, tennis rules. Let's go. Xavier 82. Good morning, gentlemen. As a Rams fan, I'm having a week. Looking forward to Will Hill's thoughts on this week's game and all the sports. Have a great show. And Sly Bry. I was at the game last night. You could just see the money draining from Sam Darnold's bank account with every drop back. Drew Dinsett, kind enough to join us again for segments involving football, tennis, and beyond. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him again on Twitter at @whale_capper. Let me ask a divisional round question the other way. Which is the team most likely to pull off a blowout?
Sorry to tell you, but it's probably the Lions. The Lions, I haven't laid the points here. It's a big number. The Commanders have covered everything they've been asked going back to week 1, practically. I know that they didn't cover every game, but they certainly comported themselves well against the likes of at Baltimore and at Philly the first time they played. And they've kept every game within, 8 points. So seeing a spread larger than that does give me pause. But I will tell you that watching the Commanders defense, in particular watching Bobby Wagner out there in the, patrolling the intermediate middle of the field, I can only imagine what Ben Johnson's eyes looked like. He was looking at a perfectly cooked fillet, like, this is going to be my masterpiece. I can only expect that the Lions will attack aggressively over the intermediate middle and have massive amounts of success between St. Brown, Laporta, and Gibbs. And I would expect that the Lions are going to threaten their team total, which is a appallingly high 33.5. it's such a big number that you literally have to say, okay, well, this is not a novel thought. Like, the market knows that the Lions are going to go score 5 touchdowns. And the covering the spread comes down to the Commanders kind of matching fire with fire. And while I do appreciate the brilliance that is Daniels, and I do think that he is a special and unique player, there is a chance that this week in Washington is a lot of mission accomplished. Job well done. We won a playoff game.
I even feel that way as a fan, Drew.
I believe it. I give you latitude to feel that way. Yeah. Like, you should. Like, this is a huge moment. Like, your franchise has turned the corner. Like, the Commanders should consider themselves contenders for as many years as Daniels is healthy. But I will also say this is your third week in a row on the road. And your offense, while generally, should be able to match up fairly well against an injured Lions defense, the Lions defense is well coordinated and they're well coached. They can take the ball away and they can absolutely generate pressure. And while I know Daniels has been a little bit immune to all of those things this year, sometimes it gets a little bit dicey when you're up against a team that's rested and getting healthier and has so many advantages on your defense that you just have no margin for error. So if I get involved in that game and I haven't made a bet yet, it's going to be on the Lions.
Okay. Spot a fish.
What's that? You spotted the fish?
I see a fish. Is that Rafa? Is that Rafa that's always
Rafa,
hiding?
Yes. Okay. He's making an appearance for the Australian Open, of course. Yes, of course.
Okay, so what bets do you have in pocket for division round? Nothing yet? officially?
Right now, only Texans.
Only Texans. Okay.
And I'm feeling not great about it, but I'm going to go to war with my Texans. They've paid me now 2 weeks, in a healthy manner. So why not?
He said my Texans. Wow. He adopted them. By the way, I've been
I have some 150-1 CJ Stroud Super Bowl MVP. So this is going to get weird.
We got to talk Super Bowl MVP this week for sure. And yes, I've been saying all year, again, just on record with Washington, they're a team that will make the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And they're a team that at the most will win one playoff game. So it's all gravy from here. I'm totally with you on that. But you never know because the kid is magic. By the way,
they're an awesome watch, man. It's so fun.
He's not here to defend himself, and I love Adam Chernoff, but somebody sent me a tweet of his yesterday. We all love Adam Chernoff, our buddy. And he was calling Washington the luckiest team of his lifetime or something like that. And I have to tell you, I got to get Adam on the podcast, on the championship round podcast, because I have such a deep objection to that take. It is so, like, if you watch them, they're not like, you got to look at down and distance. Just because they're converting thirds and fourths, they're all very casually converted short yardage things. They're not the luckiest.
Is it just a fourth down thing he's making it into?
I don't know. Maybe he was bitter because I don't know if he had the Bucks. I don't know. He sort of lashed out about it in this tweet. Someone sent it to me. I love Adam, but I disagree with that take.
I can generally kind of say there's a case to be made that they've been fortunate this year, but there are some years where there's teams where there's like they recover every fumble. Oh. They get every call. Like there are certainly examples of teams that was that Vikings team that ultimately lost to the Giants and got Daniel Jones paid, ironically, when he never should have been. That team, Kirk Cousins had 8 or 9 game winning drives or something absurd, and they won every single coin flip. And then
the one
schedule.
Score games. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I don't even know who I would qualify off the top of my head as the luckiest team, but it's certainly
I will give you a candidate. By the way, you're right about fumble luck. Like this year's Buccaneers, that stat about Baker Mayfield fumbling 13 times and only losing two of them, right? That happens all the time. The Philadelphia Eagles fans hate me for picking on this team, but the Eagles team that won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles, that entire year, they were like converting 3rd and 7s over and over. Like if you look at those stats, it's the most unbelievable run of 3rd and longs in the history of the NFL. So, I mean, and then Doug Peterson, was canonized into this great coach because of it. That's lucky, right? That's lucky. That's different. Distance matters. Anyway, before we go, NBA plays tonight, sir.
I got only one big one, and it is the Atlanta Hawks catching five against the Phoenix Suns. Brutal spot for the Suns here. I like the Hawks every which way. I know that there is questionable tag on Trae Young. I expect he'll play. I know that Jalen Johnson is out. I don't think that matters. I like the Hawks plus the points. I think they're alive to get the upset.
All right, Jerski, keep it going in the Australian Open. Keep it going in football. I wish we could have had you on the wild card round, but that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Hey, man, I'm gonna go to the lab. I'm gonna come up with some very solid takes, and I'm gonna bring it for the divisional round. I promise. I
appreciate it, because if you don't, Todd Wishnubble will let you hear about it. That's for sure. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it as always, man.
All right, you guys, best luck.
Drew Dinsey at @whale_capper. By the way, we get tweets. Norman Vegas, there's nothing more consistent than the inconsistency of NFL officiating. Drew, at Mr. Drew 50, says, I got Drew's picks, but I didn't hear yours. Do you have any AO plays today? Meaning the Australian Open. The Australian Open. Website doesn't show them. Come on. The way that the time zones work, I leave this show and then I handicap for tonight.
I was going to say, I actually thought I saw them in the site page.
No, The only reason I was able to give Osorio out is because it got pushed back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's just a time zone thing. And then when it's stateside, I do give him out on the show all the time. That's just how the timing goes. We'll come back. Our NFL bets, Kelly's and mine. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget the big news. We are 3 days away from being back on SiriusXM. Let's go. Channel 158 is where we're going to be. 24/7 sports betting coverage and the SiriusXM app, of course, as well. Give you all the insights, analysis, and picks you need to stay ahead of the game. And we're excited to launch the exclusive new show from SiriusXM listeners. VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio, which our buddies Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson have already been doing now for a week plus. That's on SiriusXM Channel 82 every weeknight from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. The whole network, though, begins this Friday. VSiN debuts SiriusXM Channel 158. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. What are you doing? You're raising the roof over there?
Yeah, I'm raising the roof. Raising the roof over here.
Kelly's doing 90s club moves over here.
I always enjoy this graphic for I don't know which 2004 Ford Explorer we found for like the radio console. Like it has to be the first one ever that had a video screen in it of some kind.
Oh, I just thought that was like somebody's pager.
I made that mistake at first, too.
Hit me on the hip.
It's a car radio, man.
I had a buddy, Andre. Andre used to be like, hit me on the hip. I'm like, all right, okay.
Hit me on the hip.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Logic 3. Oh, no. First of all, this is Dale J. Medecki. Sorry. Dale J. Medecki. Stay hot, Gil, in a reference to coming to America from Trading Places and you being Mortimer finding the $1 bill. Mortimer, we're back. What is this from? Logic 3227. Best part of the movie is when he punches the clown. What movie are we referring to there?
I don't know. I've made like three movie references already.
Rando today. Tweets. Rick Ollier.
Oh, Uncle Buck. Thank you, Darnold.
Uncle Buck. Uncle Buck. Right. Thank you. Rick Ollier. Welcome to the Colts, Mr. Darnold. That's his prediction. T for three. There's no hate from this Eagles fan. I'm not changing my basement Super Bowl 52 decor anytime soon. And he's got Tom Brady getting sacked and fumbling as his decor. Ryan Thompson. Speaking of lucky NFL teams, the 2001 Bears, he says, a forgotten, incredibly lucky team, 8-1 in one score games, 2-0 in overtime, won an overtime game versus Cleveland, tied on a Hail Mary at the end of regulation. Other overtime win, 49ers blew a 19-point lead with 3 minutes left in the third, crushed by Philly at home 33-19 in the first round. I do not remember that team off the top of my head as being so as lucky as you have spelled it out, Ryan. Thanks for that.
This is the, I'm trying to pull up right now the, first starting quarterback odds, by the way, for Steelers and, you know, some places.
Oh, yeah. Some next places. Year, some random places.
Russell Wilson, 3-1. Next up is Sam Darnold plus 350. And then it's Justin Fields at 4-1.
Sam Darnold is that short there?
He's
really?
That short for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
$25 on those, they
think?
Yeah,
probably Aaron Rodgers, 8-1. Jalen Milroe, 8-1. Quinn Ewers, 9-1.
Let it begin. I just want to say this before we get to some more NFL stuff. I had this thought, and I just, because you know I had this thought, because I was listening to the promo on the way in, our promo that we do, and I believe that I mistakenly said, hey, coming up, Will Hill talking about the college football semifinals. I don't know if you know this, Kelly. The semifinals have already
been
played.
Those have occurred.
So now, I have said this at different times
maybe he's got lingering thoughts, okay?
Maybe he does. I've said this at different times during this 12-team playoff, and I was all for the 12-team playoff. And I was just thinking to myself, like, self, what doesn't feel right about this to me? And I've said it in different ways on different occasions, one of which is I feel like the seeding was so fakakta. Say fakakta, would you, Kelly?
Fakakta.
Thank you. Well done. I feel like the seeding was so messed up that it just I had to keep consulting the bracket. Who's playing who again? Right. Which I never have to do for a 64-team March Madness. Why would I do it for a 12-team college football playoff? So I think it could be any number of reasons. But I just feel like this has kind of been a dud.
Yeah.
And
I am such the wrong person to have this conversation with.
For whatever reason, the semifinals last year, remember when Michigan was in it? I remember that just feeling massive by comparison.
Me too.
And I remember Todd and I were over at Cromwell. It felt so big. And maybe it's because of the teams involved. Maybe it's because they're astray teams. You know, apologies to Arizona State, who comported themselves very well. Boise State, which had a moment there in the game. I get that they played well. I'm a big fan of Ashton Jeanty and everything. I don't mean it that way. But maybe it's because it got fleshed out as much as it did. I think it could be the timing between rounds being more than a week.
It's not helping.
Is not helping also. Anyway, so I just, you know, I was looking for some corroboration. Does anybody else feel the way that I do? Blaine Crane on Twitter. Only 17.8 million people tuned in to watch Penn State Notre Dame in the college football playoff semifinal.
And that is Notre Dame.
A sharp drop from the 27.8 million who watched Alabama Michigan in last year's semifinal. That's a massive drop. That's a huge decline, especially for such a close game. What could explain this? And so in my head, I'm just like, you know, all the reasons. Maybe it was because of the distance between the rounds. The timing between rounds is more than a week. Maybe it's because there were mismatches. I don't know what it was, but it just feels smaller.
Maybe it's because you had a big bet on the Pacers that night.
That's definitely not it. No, I don't think that's what it is.
It's would have been the
was for you. Was that it?
Yeah. Can you rank the three? I don't know, best games so far in the college football playoffs.
No, not off the top of my head.
My point,
that's the
right?
other thing. They all kind of blur in with each other.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe it's me.
I hope we get a great championship game because I don't. The first year of the extended playoffs has not done much for me.
And I am perfectly aware that I was all for the 12-team playoff, and I'm not saying it can't improve, but I'm just saying this was a weird year.
And the problem is, though, is if you keep having these, if it feels like this to me and you, and if it feels like this to others, then you get back to some of the problems of the 12-team playoff become even more significant of the regular season not mattering as much. So then you're gonna sit through a regular season knowing it's not gonna matter as much, and then get to a playoffs that so far has not been very good.
Or is it just that the NFL is so mammoth that it overshadows it? And then there's the Australian Open. For you, there's basketball. So it's like, oh yeah.
I think without a doubt.
You get a guy saying, oh, yeah, coming up on the show, we're going to talk about the college football semifinals. Gil, I don't know if you know this, but those have been played already.
Unbiased, I think that definitely the NFL and the length in between games has something to do with it.
For me, it's the length.
Even if it's just small, it's something to do with it.
What do you have in pocket for divisional round? I'll tell you what I have.
I've just got the America's teaser this week, man. America's teaser, the Kelly and the Square Bears all over. Although I guess we're far out of teaser range.
It's out of
now.
Teaser yeah. range now, so good on you.
So yeah, Lions and Chiefs for me. And that's it so far. I know you've got a bet coming up, but I was surprised by that number that we opened up with too, with the Rams and Eagles.
Well, I don't have anything surprising for people if you've been, tuning in. It's very consistent with what I said yesterday on, first of all, the first bet I made was Baltimore. And I didn't get there. My guess yesterday was -2.5 on the Ravens, or that was my first guess of this game. And even yesterday morning when we're doing guessing lines, the Bills were still favored. And I'm like, I think I couldn't understand that line. I was shocked by it. It has come my way.
I screwed up.
The Ravens are now favored. What's wrong?
No, I was staring at that on the openers, right? Yeah. When the Bills were 1.5-point favorites, I'm like, I should tease this up because the Ravens are going to get bet, and I might be able to tease the other side up too.
Now, of course, I didn't get it quick enough because I have the Ravens -1, but I'm happy with that. And because, I've had them power ranked number one for almost half a season now at this point. Detroit was still number one before that, I think, for as long. But that's how I feel about the Ravens.
Awards votes are in, right?
Awards votes are in. Yeah, all this talk about like...
So I don't have to... propaganda won't matter at all.
Propaganda's over.
Okay, so yeah. I know I'll be on the Bills at some point, Gil, because I just trust Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson in this big-time spot, but I don't know how I'm going to play him because I don't know why there'd be any reason to bet the Bills now. This number is just moving the Ravens' way, and I don't know that it's stopped. And if it gets into teaser range, I will gladly tie Chiefs or Lions back into another teaser. I think those are great teaser options for the week.
I got Lamar at 12-1, and I got Jaden at 7-1. Let's make it happen. The MVP Offensive Rookie of the Year, Kenny Ella. Let's go.
Man, you guys nailed that rookie. I remember saying it right when you and Crack went over to bet it at the D, too. And I was like,
remember, I lollygagged before I bet it, and it was still available at the D.
Still available there. Circa, and I was like, I should really be betting that with you guys, and never did.
So I'm on the Ravens. Just that's how I feel about both football teams. There's no knock on the Bills. I just think the Ravens are great. And then I took the Rams. I couldn't believe. Remember yesterday I was saying, hypothetically, that I thought that the Eagles would be 2.5-point favorites against either Minnesota or the Rams. Now, after the game last night, I was like, okay, maybe not 2.5, but maybe 3.5.
That, okay.
Right?
I was thinking about that after we did the show yesterday. Yeah. I was like, no, Rams have to be on the other side of 3.
But as dominant as the Rams were, the fact that it's still 6, and again, I'm staring at a 6.5. Is it still there at 6.5 here? Let me see what I'm looking at. No, it's back to 6. So 6 is kind of the... is kind of where it's settling right now anyway. But I actually expect Rams money by the end of the week. I do. So I'm on the Rams because I just think they are the team. If you came to me again and said, okay, if it's not going to be the Bills, Ravens, or Chiefs, and it's not going to be the Lions or Eagles, those are 5 out of the 8 teams, which of the other 3 is the one that could sneak up and get to the Super Bowl? It's always been the Rams for me.
Trae Young, president shoot around. Hawks number on the move. If you were
That's very exciting. Coming back, Will Hill, all his bets and more. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.